going to totally freak out, right? It's like, my God, they can't fix the problem. There's no solution here. And so that's where we're going. I've been saying that we are going to get to January 1st. We're going to look back and we're going to say, what just happened? Don Durrett, how you doing?
Andy, good to be back.
Good to have you back. I am going out of town next week, and before I go out of town, I really wanted to connect with you and get you on to talk about what's going on, 30,000 foot view in the macro world right now, and then what are your thoughts going into the second half of the year?
Yeah, I have really strong opinions on what the economy is doing right now and where it's going. I know that Wall Street is really bullish because the stock market has done so well. I mean, last year it was up, you know, over 20%, I think, even close to 30 for the year. And it's, you know, it really had one small hiccup in September and then got right back on the horse in October and just, you know, basically 18 months, I think, right now, more than that. It's been, and so this actually goes all the way back to 2009. It's like the Fed in 2009, they just basically said, look, we're going to support this economy. We're not. There was a lot of fear back in 2008. And they were like, we're not going to let this happen. We're not going to allow a recession, basically. So everybody had this mentality that, and then they were able to do it in 2009. I call it like the Fed's magic trick. You know, and everybody just thinks that, you know, they're kind of like the Wizard of Oz. They can, you know, they can do whatever they need to do. It's kind of the hold my beer mentality. Don't question it. It's invincible. And so basically my point is that there's a lot of bullishness on Wall Street because they have a lot of belief in the Fed, and they have this idea that Fed can do anything, and if the Fed lowers rates, that's just going to fix everything. And then number two, I sound like Biden, is that a lot of people think that the Fed's going to start printing more money because we've been in this QT. So you have this combination of QT coming off, so printing money and they're lowering rates. Hey, we're good, right? But I'm not in that camp at all. And I actually think that things are really, really ugly and getting worse. And it's just a matter of time before this thing kind of, you know, catches on fire. I call it, in my newsletter, I said that in July, we're just going to see a lot of knife wounds. So it's like a slow bleed. It's like you can't, you know, we're not going to see one of these, you know, big black swans or, you know, meltdowns in the stock market. It's going to be kind of a slow bleed. So this week we had another one. I mean, they're coming out slowly, and I can mention about 10 of them. I've been tracking these for a long time. And a lot of people are like, well, Don, you've been saying negative stuff about the stock market all the way back in September of last year. It hasn't happened. True. But that really damage to the economy has occurred. The damage has occurred. Yeah, we've been able to keep kind of skirting it, but the underlying, the foundation keeps slowly whittling away. And the number that came out this week, the one there, the knife wound, was the PMI for services. So the services PMI has been above 50, which is growth. It went under 50, which is negative growth. And the manufacturing PMIs have been under 50. And now we're having the economic surprise numbers have been atrocious. If you go back all the way back to September, all the way to now, the economic surprise numbers have been atrocious. And then you start seeing people talk about this so-called retail apocalypse. I mean, when do you have a strong economy and people are talking about a retail apocalypse? The consumer is clearly having trouble here, and the high rates are not going to go away overnight. So the high rates are still biting. Right now, if for instance, if you're a real estate agent Or if you sell cars, you're probably not happy. You're probably just scraping by. You just probably got your head above water, barely, you know, barely making money here. This is not a strong economy. Then consumer confidence numbers, the Michigan consumer confidence numbers are around 75. That's recessionary area.
Yeah.
So then I'll mention you one more thing that I've been talking on and on, the banking system. The banking system is the foundation of the economy in many respects, because they're the ones that they actually make money when they make loans. I mean, you go and give them $10,000, they loan out, you know, $100,000. So if they're not loaning out money, that constrictive to the economy. So the real estate, I mean, the banking system, I'm not going to say number one. Their balance sheets are not healthy because they're holding all of these bonds that are underwater. Their commercial real estate is losing money and will continue to lose money for at least the next 12 months, maybe the next 24 months. And we're not talking about little dollars here. We're talking about hundreds of millions that they're going to lose. I mean, you have to be blind not to be seeing these stories about these buildings that are being sold for half of their value. Half of their value like 5 years ago.
Right.
And
there was one that was sold for a dollar. I was reading an article about that. They just wanted it off the books.
Yeah, yeah. The last thing I'll mention about banks is the credit cards is one of their big profit areas. And now all of a sudden credit card delinquencies are starting to spike up.
Yep.
So the banking system is not healthy. The housing industry is not healthy. I mean, where's the green shoots? I mean, where's the growth? And so it's like I said earlier, it's like, oh, Don, don't worry. The Fed, they're gonna lower rates. They're going to inject money. We're good. Everything's going to just off to the races.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you say all that, because the last handful of guests I've had in the last 2 months, this is like a repeat. You're saying the similar thing. And it's like, well, it's hitting. I don't care what the stock market's doing. It's hitting right now, and it's going to hit through the summer. That's when it's and it will continue to hit through the summer. It's really going to have an interesting summer. So I guess, where does that leave us now with all of this hitting and the banking sector really seizing up? Where does this leave, I guess, yeah, what's your outlook?
Well, now I'm going to say something that nobody else has said, because I consider myself kind of a visionary of the future, and I've been researching the future since 1989. And I've watched it unfold. I've actually expected all this deterioration in the economy. I actually expected it, because you can't print prosperity.
Right.
You can't manipulate growth. You can for a certain period of time, but it doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
So I knew this was coming, but the other thing that I knew that was coming was what's happening with our political system, deterioration of our political system. I knew that was coming too. And the other thing, I always thought the economy would actually go, I thought the economy was actually going to go down first and then the political system, but it's actually been the political system that's actually imploded first.
Yeah.
And now the economy is coming next. And the only thing that's really holding up America, it's interesting, we're doing this on July 4th. The only thing that's holding up America is the economy. And what I've been saying is that when this economy goes down, this business cycle, and I'll give some arguments for the reason why I think I'm right, is that when this economy goes down, it's not coming back. And so, and a big reason why it's not coming back is because our political system is what is not going to allow it to come back, for one thing. And we can see this. It's so obvious to anybody that Washington is in kind of the wheels have come off the rails kind of thing. It's just deteriorated. I mean, look at all this money that we're giving to the Ukraine war. It's like, why is the Ukraine war our responsibility? What's going on over there? We spent, what, $200, $300 billion on that. How much did we spend on Afghanistan? More than that. What's going? Our America is deteriorating. We're spending all this money in foreign war. It's the same thing, you know. History rhymes, right? It's basically Rome repeating. It's the same thing, right? And yeah. So our empire is coming to an end here. This is it. And I've been saying this, 2024 is the last year. It's literally the last year. This is our last July 4th, where people are celebrating America with the expectation that they're going to do the same thing next year.
Right.
A year from now, the next July 4th comes around, the people are going to be saying, I wonder how many of these more we have. I mean, that's how much things are going to change between the next 12 months. And when we get to that's what I said, because we're not going to recover from this. The bond market, and I can tell you, remember I said I was going to give you some reasons why
we're
not going to recover from it. So if you go back to 2009, we basically didn't have any inflation. The Fed could print whatever they wanted to print, and they could take interest rates to zero, easy peasy. And they did it, and that recession was over in June of 2009 because of that ability, those tools. Well, guess what? Neither of those tools are at their disposal right now. They cannot take rates to zero.
Yep.
And if they even tried to take it to zero, it would take them at least 2 years to do it. They couldn't do it in 6 months or a year. Take them some time, right?
Yeah.
And when they did that, and here's the reason why they can't take them to zero is because they can't print as much money as they're going to need to print, because they printed about $4 trillion in 2020. Some people say more. And that kind of liquefied the economy. But this time, we're going into this recession with inflation. So if they print too much, it'll create too much inflation. And if they lower rates too much, then you create this imbalance with negative real rates. It just starts breaking things. And so they're trapped, basically. And then what happens is they create a doom loop. And the doom loop is the more they print, the more they hurt the economy. And the less they print, the more they hurt the economy. There's nothing they can no sweet spot. And so what's going to happen is they're going to lower rates and they are going to print. Absolutely. Everybody expects that. But when it doesn't generate, because usually what happens when they cut rates is the economy actually goes swoons with it.
Right.
And so the economy, and it's slowing right now. And the one thing that's going to slow the economy more than anything is the stock market. If the stock market falters, that's when companies lay people off. Companies don't lay people off because GDP or even what consumers are doing. They usually lay them off because they want to keep their jobs. So they get rid of, labor is usually the number one thing. I mean, if you go back and you look at some of these Mag 7 stocks like Meta and Amazon, one of the reasons why their stocks did so well is because they cut labor back. Cut labor back, and that really supports your earnings. And so that's one of the first things to go. And that's why labor is always is a lagging indicator.
Right.
Because labor is what gets cut after things start going south.
Yep.
And we're close to labor going up. I know Jeff Snyder actually he always has videos on the economy. He had one out yesterday talking about unemployment is starting to go. Jeffrey Gundlach says that once unemployment gets above 4%, Katie bar the door. So we're just about there. Now back to my thesis about, I said, nobody else is talking about this, about America not basically having a normal business cycle where you go into recession and you kind of get through it and the Fed gets you back on your feet and off to the races again. But this time that's not going to happen. And here's the doom loop. So the stock market goes down and nothing in the what the Fed's doing with cutting rates and injecting money is not helping. It's basically not working. And then the Fed basically starts to panic and Treasury will start to panic. So the Treasury will do a stimmy, some type of a stimmy. Well, that's bad for bonds. And the Fed will panic, and they'll start printing money. And that combination will start to damage the bond market. And that's where your doom loop hits. Because once the bond market's everything. The bond market is much more important than the stock market. Much more important.
Yep.
The bond market weakens. It's like, it's really game over situation. About 30% of our stock market is foreign money. And foreign money is basically based on this idea that the U.S. has the best economy, the best bond market, the best currency, best of the best kind of thing. Well, if people start to get nervous that, uh-oh, America's in trouble. It's going to start pulling out. Well, if that happens, not only will they pull money out of the stock market, but they'll also dump bonds. And they won't buy them either. And that doom loop. And that's what's going to happen between now and the first quarter of next year. And then once the doom loop starts, the U.S. Treasury and the Fed, because they work hand in hand, so much for the Fed being private, right? They work
right.
Hand. They will basically have a meeting and say, what do we do? And they'll go, there's only one choice. And the choice is we have to cut spending. Because if we don't cut spending, there's no, that's the only way out. We can't print our way out, so we have to cut our way out.
Yeah.
And so, and that's, you know, that's the end. Because at that point, they basically threw up the white flag and they say that the printer doesn't work anymore. Yeah. And when they say the printer doesn't work anymore, Wall Street's going to totally freak out, right? It's like, my God, they can't fix the problem? There's no solution here? And so that's where we're going. I've been saying that we are going to get to January 1st. We're going to look back and we're going to say, what just happened? And what just happened was really a recognition that what we've been doing for the last 20 years isn't going to work anymore. And now what? Do we have a path forward? And believe it or not, we don't, because our political system is broken and it's not fixable. And if the political system wasn't broken, then we would have a path forward, absolutely. But the political system, like I go back to Rome, their political system broke too. So it was a combination of economics and politics, which is exactly what's happening to us today. Mm-hmm. American empire is dying. And so we are going through this process of change. And the change started in 2016. And in 2025, it's going to pick up speed. And from 2025 to the end of this decade, it's like, oh my goodness, America will not look the same by the end of this decade. In so many different ways, our political system, our economic system, our social systems, everything's going to change dramatically from now until the end of the decade.
Yeah. You brought something up. You brought up what was great points, but about the bond market, I used to trade for a hedge fund 15 years ago, and we would watch the bond market like a hawk. That was the big indicator where interest rates were, where they were moving. And yes, the bond market's everything. I would agree. And then the second thing, because it's a debtor system. The second thing that you mentioned that I think is really key that not a lot of people are talking about, and you really hit on it, is foreign money coming back home. And I don't know how familiar you are with the yen carry trade, but I had two guests on the last 2 months. And one was adamant that that's ending. And the second one, his name is Simon Hunt. He's out of Dubai. And his thesis is not so much that concrete that's ending, but he's asking the question, when Japan calls her money home, what happens then?
Exactly.
That's scary, I think. And a lot of people aren't talking about that and they're not aware of it.
Yeah, I just told you America's ending. I mean, that's scary, right?
me that. Nobody's told me that. Okay, so let's now project here. So we're going into this storm right now. That's your thesis, and I'm very sympathetic to this thesis. And so we got 6 months here. Let's talk gold and silver then. That's been very, very firm, even though we've had a recent correction. Would you see that staying firm to the end of the year, or if we do have a stock market correction, which I think is very likely, do you think those sell off? And what happens with the equities in both gold and silver?
Well, gold is actually telling us this, a really important story here that something's wrong. You
Right.
never see gold trading at all-time highs with the stock market at all-time highs. They usually trade inversely. Strong stock markets means strong economy means weak gold. Also, a strong dollar usually means gold is down. They usually
Interesting.
So both of, for gold to be trading near all-time highs tells you something is wrong. There's something wrong going on here, people. And it's not inflation. Inflation is, as we speak, it's we have a cost of living problem right now, but not an inflation problem. In other words, prices aren't going up. You know, it's more they went up and they're now they're still up. I mean
Right.
that's a problem with prices, but gold isn't. Yeah, gold's not a, keeps isn't staying strong because we have inflation. It's staying strong because there's something's wrong. There's a lot of uncertainty and something's about to break here. Now, I turned bullish on gold and on about the first week of April. Once gold broke out, it was such a strong move to 2400. It's like this is a very, very powerful move. It broke out in the first week of March. And me, for my breakouts, I like to see about 2 weeks. So you had the last week of March, first week of April. 2 weeks of really strong gold prices. I basically turned bullish at that point. And gold has remained over 2,300 since then. So we're looking, you know, March, April, May, June. It's been a, and now we're into July. We've been, this is a very, gold has been very, very strong. My range, you know, I'm expecting a correction in gold, but not a deep dip. So when the stock market rolls over, and I think we're just going to get knife wounds in July, but I'm thinking August or September, one of those 2 months, I'm expecting the stock market to start basically rolling over. And at that point, I think gold will get some type of correction. Now, my range was 2,000 to 2,200, but I'm becoming more and more bullish that 2,200 is now the new low. And if we go below 2,200, it'll be short-lived. Now, 2,070 was the breakout. So I, you know, it's possible you could go back there and touch 2,070, 2,100, but we might not. 2,200 might hold here. That's how strong gold is because this is where it gets real interesting. Gold wants to go higher. The stock market and the dollar want to go lower. Like gold is leading the way, and the stock market and the dollar, they're basically, they're just posers. They're just pretending. They're both just bubbles here. They're not the real McCoy. The real McCoy is gold. Gold wants to go higher. And everybody's saying it. You know, 2,700, there's a lot of people, though. On Wall Street that have targets of $2,700 gold. And I think that's what we're going to end up by the end of the year. So gold's the real McCoy year, but we're going to get a little bit of a dip. But I'm not really waiting for that dip. If I get free cash, I'm going to buy some miners here. I'm not going to wait for the dip because I don't think it's going to be deep. Now, I will, if the S&P gets below 4,800, I think that'll be right around there. So today's about 5,500. It's about a 10% drop from here. It's a little bit more than that, about 12% drop. That should be the area where gold bounces, where it hits its bottom, right around 4,800 S&P. So holding, you know, there's a couple stocks I've always wanted that I've never owned. Those are my last ones. We get to, I'll hold a little bit of cash for those two stocks, but everything else, I'm buying. I'm not really waiting for a big dip here. But my expectation, you know, every time you expect something, it usually doesn't unfold like you think it will.
Right.
Never exactly, which frustrates me to no end because it happens kind of sort of, but not exactly. So we don't know when, how far gold will dip, when it will bounce. I think when it will bounce is a big unknown here. Does it bounce in September, or do we have to wait all the way until October, December? I do think it'll bounce. October, November, December. I do think it will bounce before the end of the year, but I don't know when. I mean, it's possible gold gets stuck in this narrow trading range from, you know, 2200 to 2300, 2200 to 2400. Now, the breakout points for gold and silver, for me, there's like three numbers. For gold, its breakout is 2500. For silver, it's 35. And for the HUI, it's 300. So those are my breakouts that I'm waiting for. Once we hit those, it's like the breakout to champagne. But we might not, you know, we might have to wait all the way until December for that to happen. But I think it could happen as early as October.
Yeah, it fits well too with what you're saying is you're just going to accumulate it with any cash that you have in hand.
I have been aggressively since April.
Yeah, well done. Well, I would love to keep you longer, but I really can't. How can people find you? And what are some final thoughts until I have you on again in the next couple of months?
Yeah, let's do the final thoughts and I can say where they can find me. So I think that the reason why the miners have poor sentiment, because they have had, I mean, if you look at Newmont, it did get to 43, but I mean, it's Newmont and Barrick are well off their cycle highs. The Newmont cycle high was 82
Yep.
in April of 22. 82, it's currently trading at 43. So
Great.
Wall Street has not been interested in the miners. And the reason why is you have to understand what creates sentiment in the miners. So if you go back to the 70s was really kind of a risk-off sentiment period. Basically, you had, you know, now you didn't have a strong economy in the 70s. So when you don't have a strong economy, you have kind of a risk-off flavor and the gold outperforms market. And that was from 1970 to 1980. And then from 2000 to 2010, another decade, was the same thing. You basically had uncertainty in the stock market, which created a kind of a risk-off flavor. And in tandem with that, you had gold outperforming the market. Well, we haven't had that since 2011. So now that's what's coming back. And people don't really, they have a hard time kind of wrapping their head around, you know, these cycles, how they will come back. And when they come back, that it's going to be really good for gold and the miners. So what you need is the combination of higher gold prices outperforming the market in tandem with this risk-off flavor. And right now we don't have a risk-off flavor. We have a risk, total risk on.
Risk on flavor. Yeah.
Very little cash on the sidelines. It's like buy as many stocks as you get your hands on kind of thing. There's actually more people right now are in the stock market than in 2008. It's like it's crazy. So it's big risk on. So when that turns, it's gonna be really good for for stocks. And so then the other thing I wanted to say is that I really feel that this is the last opportunity. So we've basically been in a 12-year, I mean, something like that, real bear market for miners. We had a little bit of a bump in 2016, a little bump in 2020. But by and large, I mean, you're 10 plus year basically bear market in miners. And they're still cheap. They haven't broken out. My point is that we don't have you're not gonna have much more time to buy them cheap. Because once these stocks double, you know, once Newmont goes from 40 back to 80, and it's not going to take long. Like all the stocks, it's like, it won't, you're going to lose these, your opportunity for a lot of the quality stocks is going to be gone.
Yeah.
And so you don't want this thing to get away from you too much. I think you really want to buy sub 300 on the HUI, and we're 260. Actually, we're over 276 right now, 10% move. So we have about a 10% move up. There's still opportunity. I'm thinking we got about 60 to 90 days of buying opportunities. And that's about it. And then it'll be kind of over as far as getting really big alpha, getting some of these really cheap names. I think most of these stocks are going to double. And once they double, I mean, you're just going to go, darn it, you know? It's they're not so juicy anymore, if you will. Okay, so that's my final thoughts. And then where to find me, my website, Gold Stock Data. So Gold Stock Data is for anybody that already owns a gold and silver mining stock. It's not really, if you don't own it, I'm not there to say, okay, here, buy this. It's not a stock picking site. It's for people to do their own research. It has a massive database, 850 stocks with a lot of data. So it's for people that already own them who want to buy more of them. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Don Durrett. I'm on there. And then I have a community on Twitter. So if you go to my profile on Twitter, it'll show you that my community that you can join. There's 1,000 people in there right now. The thing that's cool about the community is there's no bots in there because you have to be a member of the community to post. So that's fun. There's no commercials. I don't think there's ads in communities, but there might be.
I haven't seen one.
Right. I don't think there are yet. I think they want these communities to grow, but no bots, which is nice. And then the only thing we're posting about in that community is gold and silver. So Andy, thanks for having me on. I think this is really good. I think a lot of people are going to be interested in it. And so have a good fourth. Again, this is the last one where you're going to have no doubts that America will be here in 12 months from now.
Don, as always, very, very stimulating. So I do love having you on, and I'm looking forward to having you on again real soon.
All right. Very good, Andy. Have a good one.
Good one.